Gentlemen, good afternoon. It's another edition of State of Play. And I'm sure you've been following happenings in the court, or maybe happenings following the passage in Parliament of what many of you have termed as the anti-LGBTQ bill.
It has been bloody.
It's been, I tell you. Yesterday in the court, well, you know, the injunction by Roxon Nelson Eche Dafiamekpo seeking to injunct the speaker from approving ministers of state until the determination of what he says upon a true and proper interpretation of the constitution. Even when a minister is moved from a ministry to another ministry, he must come to parliament for vetting. And the fact that the letter said, or the flyer at the time said, that revocation of appointment as minister and reappointment, it must come back to parliament. Guys, we're back to it again. I don't know to call that, to call this a showdown in Little Accra or showdown in Manila.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a showdown. I mean, a showdown that, you know, at the start, you know, there's the, you know, judiciary versus the, no, the legislature versus the executive. And now, as of yesterday, the judiciary has been placed right in the heart of this. And I really don't envy the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court judges. The tragedy, though, is how this whole thing has been politicized. It's all happening in the back of the LGBTQ bill.
Yeah.
Right? Really, that is the basic basis for all this.
When you take out that bill,
this all,
everything falls apart.
Everything falls apart.
In fact, they'll come back to be usual friends and family.
That's it.
Nobody's going to contend anything. And all the other subsequent, and everybody in this republic knows that, and I'm not saying that the case is not being filed, that deep within Roxon Nelson, that have a post heart, this matter is not his biggest problem on this.
Oh, no, it is not.
You get what I'm trying to say?
No.
And this injunction application was not really, it was in furtherance of that same agenda, that if this rule can be applied this way, it should be applied the other way.
Especially you when the evidence shows that the application for interlocutory injunction was an afterthought.
Yes. Done after speaker said it had been done.
The timeline shows that his substantive application on the matters of whether or not a minister can be moved from one ministry to the other without vetting predated the passage of the LGBTQ bill.
That's true.
It predated it. But the application for interlocutory injunction only came the night, the morning after, this 10 a.m. The night before, when the speaker had said, referenced it.
No, he actually, in that sentence of this thing, makes a point. I mean, I think the relief he was seeking, the relief that Roxon was seeking, actually, he actually indicates that an interlocutory injunction on the speaker of
but there was no application.
No, he had not submitted an application.
Yeah.
But he had indicated,
an injunctive relief.
An injunctive relief as part of the rate that he filed.
But the application is factual. The application
came subsequently.
Subsequently,
which is what they admit. But I'm saying that I agree. I mean, we all know that the only reason why he filed that application was just because it had to further the point.
Exactly.
That Parliament cannot be dictated to by the executive. And the failure to even admit or receive that particular bill that had been passed by Parliament, he, the Speaker, and mostly those in the minority felt this was a slap in their face. I was speaking to Dominica, and he said that, you see, the interpretation of the Speaker was even wrong. He believes that the Attorney General wrongly advised the President. The same way the Speaker also, he felt the Speaker might have known what is right, but deliberately decided that I will do the same thing based on the same advice.
It was fit for that.
Yes. I mean, so he said he felt that was what was happening. So there was more politics in this than any quest to uphold any constitution or any interest in making sure that...
He thinks that didn't advise the president properly.
Yes. His argument is basic.
On the receipt of the anti-gay bill.
He believes that in the performance of a constitutional duty, a case like this cannot in any way stop the president because one single thing. What harm will be caused when that bill had not been assented to? So in all fairness, even receipt cannot be a crime. Because when you receive and you go ahead to say, I do not assent, these are my 5 and 25 reasons to parliament, that process will start and go on. If that process is arrested by the constitution, that's understandable. Mm. He separates two issues. A matter that's a substantive matter, which is what is in the bill, then a procedural matter, which is what affects the bill. Mm. He says, as for procedural matters, you may be able to raise that along the line, That's why Sky's, how do you call that thing? The quorum, he raised a quorum issue, could be an issue. But the substantive issue is whether or not a bill has been passed. And mindful of the fact that in its current state, it is merely a bill which does not affect anybody in the Republic of Ghana. You cannot arrest it in that process. He believes that the constitutional process has actually outlined that. And he believes the president knows that. He believes that the executive secretary to the president will know that. He believes the attorney general knows that. But it's because of the same politics around there.
Yeah, but attorney general was actually referred to attorney general. Mm-hmm. He actually tells the president to hold on to assenting the bill.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell the president not to accept it.
So
he says, don't assent to the bill. Mm-hmm. Until the determination.
Yeah.
And there's something the president could have actually done.
Yeah.
But for the executive secretary to write such words warning the clerk to...
And it was a cease and desist.
Yes.
In fact, if you are, let's say, any other person, and that cease and desist is actually uttered towards you, but cease and desist letter from the executive to parliament.
Yeah. It was combative.
Yeah, sounded more like... So it was that attitude they were pushing up. And again, I've been saying this grandstanding. Speaker has been doing grandstanding. Presidency has been doing grandstanding on the matter.
But let's call the spade a spade. This is state of play. The president was wrong to take the position he took. The constitutional prescription is black and white.
Yeah.
Is very clear. In fact, his own attorney general did not back the position that was actually communicated in the Nana Santi Bidutu's letter to the speaker.
Yeah.
I think they did not back that position.
Yeah.
Now, but there's a reason why the president had taken that position. Because if he really listens to the attorney general and accepts the transmitter and receives the bill, the constitutional clock will begin to tick.
Yes, the days.
But then you can now indicate that, well, hold on a minute. For instance,
this guy you actually have to say that. Cases in court.
Mm.
I'm afraid that maybe this is my interpretation of it.
No, the reason why that would help him is he can say that to Parliament.
Yes.
But the constitutional clock won't stop.
That's
Parliament
true.
Will necessarily
expect a period that's
required. Yeah, so he sent it back to Parliament, but I cannot assent to it.
No,
because
but
of
we
this.
Know when he does that, Parliament will have
the two-thirds majority.
The two-thirds majority
fact,
conversation will also trigger.
In Parliament, that two-thirds majority of MPs make this law and not necessarily coming from him.
Yes.
No, but here's the thing.
Oh, you get the point.
No, but I see. Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
They did it.
But because at that point, his hands will be tied.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want it in the first place, whether through Parliament or through the executive.
No, but that's... But you see, this is the point.
No, but that's a blow.
But he started by saying, it's not me. So if it's not you, let the process conclude.
Yeah, we told the American...
it's not me.
Yes. At that time, he was looking for an excuse.
No, but I...
Not,
and that is
not
where,
to have
and
it
that is where, and that is where I think...
Or not to even have the conversation.
Not to have the conversation. He doesn't want the bill.
See,
we need to be...
Yeah, but Evans, but he let himself down.
Does not want this
but
bill.
But Akufo-Addo is so astute a politician to have filled himself in this way.
And an experienced one...
How do you not like a bill and let a bill go through Parliament like that?
Ah, if Akufo-Addo wants MPs removed from Parliament. If Akufo-Addo has problems with majority leader, he can cause his change. If Akufo-Addo, he's way
Look,
too much
I have
of
said
a,
it before.
Yes.
I have said it before that we've sat in this country and saw how bills delayed in Parliament until after.
Yeah.
So
and you have to the end of this year.
There's a part of
start
me,
all over.
There's a part of me that I mean, and this is there's no evidence to this that possibly says that the president thought. This definitely won't be passed now.
Yeah.
And that is where those who say for, you know, people have actually said, you've heard that some persons in the NDC make the point that they even believe that the removal of Chairman Sabonsu, part of it is
linked
this.
To this. Yeah. That he was fast-tracking this process too
because,
quickly.
Look, this is the point.
He was standing by allowing the process to pass.
Did you
instead
hear?
Of putting impediments
in the way.
To you let see, the thing travel beyond
you see,
the election.
You see, Evans, this is my problem. Even the president's statement. That, oh, this is a bill that is emanating from Parliament and is not coming from the presidency or anything, was an admission of the fact that personally he is not against the bill at the time the bill was going through.
Yeah.
Even though he may have been against the bill, he did not give any indication that he was against the bill until the bill passed.
That's true.
Then now he realized, oh my goodness, hold on a minute, what did I do this? That is why I say he let himself down. Because look, when the bill was passed, and the majority leader has said it, so I'll quote him. I'll make reference to his statement that they met at the Jubilee House. You did.
Yeah.
You spoke to Kofi Asante on Top Story, and he said they met in Jubilee House to take a decision on the two of us.
Yeah.
So let me, even though I knew that they were meeting, And this is part of the thing that came out. There were people in that meeting who said, how did we allow this bill to travel this length? Look, they could have spoken to. Is it not the same parliament that they do debates and defer and come back later and come and vote on it?
That's true.
Why do they do that? Because they want the status quo to remain. You know the status quo? The majority must always have their way and the minority would have its say. So at every given moment, they look at it and say, well, let's wait. We will debate and come and vote later. By that time, you'll be able to marshal all your members. If you're not able to do it, then it's your problem. So if you know all of these things, this is the same parliament that we thought a hung parliament was going to be to our benefit as a people. Of course, we know what has happened. So if this parliament, you're not able to influence this parliament to do this. And today, I am saddened that the judiciary is also being drawn into this. Yeah.
For me, that's the biggest tragedy.
Yes, because look, I have always insisted, Raymond, always on the spokesmanship. I said, the only institution in this country that I, Winston Amah, would never bastardize,
The conscience
would never say anything against. Yeah. Even if I disagree with the judiciary, I'm very careful how I even criticize the judiciary. Because it is the last institution that has the respect of a lot of citizens. The others, people don't respect parliament, people don't respect the executive.
All over the world.
So why do we draw them into all of this?
Parliament and the executive, they actually end up being partisan and
all. Yes. I was making the point, I said, they are politicians.
Yes.
Nothing
yes.
they'll do surprisingly. Yes. I mean, I expect them to do what they're doing.
And I have, so that's why when it gets to the judiciary, I have a problem.
We are doing a lot of harm to the judiciary.
Yeah.
It's the reason some time ago, even though it might not be a political doctrine question in and of itself, that whole theory of political doctrine came out of this. Do not put before the judiciary questions of natures that can destroy them.
Yeah.
That when they bite or not bite becomes a problem. So then you are forcing them to enter an arena that ideally they should be staying away from. And the judiciary has had its own set of problems. More recently, the most recent one, and John Osai Kwapon consistently reminds me of that. The Afrobarometer report, the trust in the judiciary is at all-time low.
Mm. Yeah.
You cannot add on things that will make people suspect the institution more, or whichever way it goes, because you are dragging and putting them in the middle of your partisan politics.
And they must necessarily
make a decision. And now, because of what happened in the Domi level in other cases, people feel that they deliberately push cases back if they don't want to offend anybody. So they are also in a tight corner. If they act fast, they are in trouble. If they delay too, they are in trouble.
If they make a decision, they are in trouble.
Yes.
If they don't make a decision, they are in trouble. If they stay neutral and push the case.
Yes.
So they can't win.
And so this.
That's what the difficulty is.
So this matter, for instance, could have been settled by both parties minus the judiciary.
Yeah.
Look, if they compel the president, I mean, if the members of parliament went and compelled the speaker, they would have done the meetings backdoor and say, you know what, let's just let this go. Because this is the point. Watch this. I'm going to give you some kind of...
See, speaker can play ball. On the second day that we were doing the budget consideration, where it was appeared that the first day, where it appeared that the minority had more numbers than the majority, what did the speaker do? He actually suspended
it. He suspended
house.
It. Then they should go and come back.
Yes. So then they should do the voting the next
day. That's what you can do. But
the minority MPs were angry, very angry.
But that's also because, and I'm on record to have said that, when, for instance, at the time that the budget was rejected, and I said, this is a country that is going through challenges. You don't have to be seen to be throwing out your budget. Yeah. In 2021 at the time, worsening the situation. And so I said, I felt that you don't have to do this. But this is the point. Watch this critical. I'm going to give you some scenarios. Now, when Akufo-Addo came into office, he's appointed a lot of judges. Now, before Akufo-Addo's appointment of judges, Professor Raymond Atuguba had done a lecture that indicated that judges tend to vote in favor of whichever president appointed them.
Yeah.
He's an academic.
Yeah.
He has done his research, if you disagree with him. And I remember at the
time, contrary view.
A Justice of Ayakufu saying, you are going to let the people come after us.
Let me put that one aside.
Do you remember if all the cases go in our favor all the time, the people will begin to have issues.
Kandapa.
National Security Minister. And so when you do these things, and actually coupled with the fact that during the election petition case, it was obvious the NDC didn't have a case. I know, I mean, the NDC didn't have a case in election petition. because you went to case.
But the NDC did not believe it had a case.
You went to court. You went to court saying that per the EC's this thing, not that you have calculated and realized I should go to second. Per the EC's.
It was a fight they wanted to win in a court of public opinion.
Yes. But when they started doing unanimous FC, unanimous FC, unanimous FC, unanimous FC, it was actually sending a certain signal. And at any point in time, the judiciary should start thinking, what are these guys doing to us? What are these guys doing to us? Because if you have half the population, almost half the population, mistrusting you, you have become a politician.
And just to back the point that we've all made here, this particular problem that we're now, this dilemma that we put ourselves in, as all these three, you know, arms of government entangled, does not have a legal constitutional solution. It is a political solution.
100%.
Yes. Look, and that's why you're not going to be thinking political
decisions like that. The solution.
See, this one.
It's not constitutional. It is a
political
solution.
No matter what the Supreme Court does, if they actually say anything that suggests that, oh no, there are problems with this bill, look at the people they are offending in this republic. You look cleanly at the people they are offending in this republic. I mean, look at the pastors straight through to there is a minister who was summoned by, not pastors, traditional leaders at the National House of Chiefs and told, this is what is happening. Tell your people that we support it fully. Mm-hmm. So they should not misconstrue silence on the matter and not doing press conference as no support. Mm-hmm. He went and said, oh, now me, the people I represent, they are fully in support. So I'm not sure whether me, even as minister, I can come out and say that I don't support it. Minister in Akufo-Addo's government. Mm. It is very difficult for you to offend all groups at the same time. In fact, perhaps the most important groups. Sometimes you offend Muslims, you leave out Christians, you offend Christians, you leave out Muslims. But to offend Christians, Muslims, and traditional people all together in an election year is perhaps the most unwise decision, unless you
even
are.
Even atheists, some of them will be offended.
Yeah, but it's a very complex thing.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, that's why I still fear that this thing has nothing to do with the judiciary. And if we want to protect that institution, we should rid them easily out of it.
That is the reason I say this case shouldn't have found itself in court. Whoever said this
should not have found
necessary.
Itself in court.
This is
but
the point.
It's gone.
Yeah, but you see, but this is the point. This is because you see, when politicians fail at their politics, and begin to draw in another arm of government, it's problematic.
Yeah.
When the legislature and the executive fail at their politics, because you are the masters of the game.
Yeah, you should be able to.
You should be able to deal with
all the compromise.
But then let's ask the question. So, we have seen through the veil. We know what's happening here. Mm-hmm. This politics being played. Somebody has failed at playing its game and being astute, and is shifting the responsibility to the judiciary. What should the judiciary do? They should definitely know what we are talking about. They should know by now that they are now being used as pawns in this, they become pawns in this game that has been played between the NDC and MPP on the LGBTQ bill.
But Evans, so are they not in a tighter position? I was talking about when they come in early, there's problem.
I get what
you're
saying.
When they delay to
So what should they do? Now they've come in early. Now there's a problem.
Now that's a problem. We saw the NDC statement.
Also another issue.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And frankly, I first thought it was a fake statement.
The NDC statement.
They have not issued a very tough statement like that to that arm of government in a very long while.
Yeah, the last one I remember is there's many ways to kill a cat.
Yes!
That's a long time ago.
Yes, a very long
Which
time ago.
Which year was it? You remember?
Oh, that was, I think, in 2010, thereabouts.
I mean,
since that time, I haven't heard the NDC go.
I was really worried about the content of that statement. It showed and parties engaged. They didn't leave out just, let's say, communications person to issue it. Or sometimes they will let them. Yes. The general secretary basically represented the entire team. That is problematic. That is very, very problematic. And they are further pushing the judiciary in an extremely tight corner.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, see, I would have said, oh, let justice be done and let the heavens fall. Mm. But this one, I suspect heavens may fall.
Heavens.
Yes.
Not me, will fall.
Yes. So
also because this is an election year, stakes are very high.
Of everything.
It's part of the reason.
But election year, we can't use elections to destroy the judiciary.
But this.
So if there's an election dispute at the end of the election,
you make a
it's the same group that was supposed
this
to go
is why, this is why. This is why. We should not have subjected the judiciary to this kind of.
Absolutely.
It is on and so we could have just. We could have just. Look, we could have just sat down. Okay? And the president can always get back to the Speaker of Parliament and say, Mr. Speaker, look, you know, this is in bad light, but this is what I want you to do. And the president has had a lot of opportunities. The Catholic Bishop Conference says they are prepared to have a conversation on custodial sentence. My goodness, you take advantage of it.
That's an opportunity.
Yes.
Imagine, take advantage of it. Remember the day we did
Those men going from house to house, convincing other pastors. If you can easily do that, you, the president, can do that.
You can actually take advantage of it.
On top of the political game, the day they were now, Afenyo was doing his thing.
Yeah.
That was the day you get the religious groups to send in the petition.
Yes.
To say, look, so, as for this one, we are ready to. So let's compromise.
Let's compromise.
And the NDC MPs would have complied because we are doing.
You comply. So you see, the president again, and this is, and in all of these things, you have to say or, Mr. President,
or receive the bill, and in your explanation to Parliament why you're not signing. Make that your primary one.
Make that your primary one.
And then so you would have consulted with them. Consulted with them already.
Call them.
Do a press conference with them with you.
Yeah.
And say we agree, but. We all agree that day. So we are sending it back to Parliament.
You are tying
the hands with all the priests behind you, telling Parliament when this thing comes back.
You've tied the hands of the minority.
Don't jump to third majority vote yet.
That's true.
Give it time to fix it.
Yeah.
And you see,
that then will drag a lot a bit more, you know.
And then, you see, this is the other point. So the president had that opportunity in front of him.
He didn't take it.
He didn't take it.
But you know what makes your case even strong? Last week, the Attorney General was on Joy News. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, one of them. And said that something that we've known they believe for a long time, but nobody had said it, and allowed the bill to grow. That this bill is politically motivated. Anybody heard him say that?
Yeah, I heard him.
That the bill is politically motivated, and that the sponsors of the bill, forgetting that there's one of their own in it.
Reverend John, in team
for the sponsors of the bill are doing this for the political gain they stand to make. Well, and it supports your point, because if you knew that at the time the private member's motion was first mooted, it was for political purposes, you start fighting it politically.
Yeah.
You don't wait for the passing.
That's true.
So they've known that the NDC was doing politics with the bill, at least according to the Attorney General. And yet they started for the, they waited for the NDC to consummate and mature their political maneuvering.
Enforce it into a national issue.
Well. And wait for it to come into an election
when
the political capital is at its highest.
And the pastors are threatening you. Guys,
before you tell us
that, our time is
up. So what do you do to deal with it politically? Right? I mean, it just supports your point that somebody dropped the ball and decided to shift the problem.
Let the judiciary.
But we haven't answered the question. So the judiciary, what should they do? Because we answered the question today. Who suffers the greater loss?
Is the judiciary.
So I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so. But how they do it.
If they are going to suffer the greater loss, then how are they going to approach this? Or how should they?
Subject for another discussion.
Yes.
Have a lovely afternoon.
I agree with you.
You know, this is why I'm not going to answer that question.
Have a lovely afternoon.
I don't envy them.